Praise God. Am I on? You're very quiet this morning. Make some noise. Praise God. Amen. That's great. Oh, I just left something behind over there. It's great to be back home again amongst the precious family of God. And just pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the joy of knowing you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful joy that we find in the presence of the mighty God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you join us together as a family, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you called us according to your purpose. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord. Just bless us, Lord, as we open your word and share a little bit today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As you can tell, I've come back a little bit croaky. I've got a cough lolly. So if I manage to shoot you with the cough lolly while I'm talking, if it hits you, you get a free Bible. Is that okay? So you'll all be jumping, hit me. So anyway, it's great to be back. We had a fantastic night last night. And I just really want to thank Kathy for doing a great job coordinating that concert. Kathy did a fantastic job. And so many people worked really hard. And it was a great night. And for those who missed out, you missed out on some great Maltese singing for the Maltese ones and African songs as well. And just a great, fantastic night all around. And so great opportunity to reach out to people. And I really praise God. It was a powerful night. People were really touched. So praise God for that. And I notice that the garden's all been pulled up at the front there. So I've been working hard. And we're getting ready as we get ready to make the building all nice and modern and new at the front there. So that's really exciting to see that happening. And I bless you for all those who are in there sweating and digging holes and ripping up plants. And Pastor John told me he got the four-wheel drive and hitched it up and just drove off with half the garden. So very creative, but praise God, it's great to see what's been happening around the place. And a great joy to have Pastor John and Pastor Pat knowing. We sort of did a tag team. They came back just as I went. Sort of tag, you're it, and off you get. And it's great to know that we're a great team here. Praise God. Just sort of share a little bit about the trip in the Philippines. And then just to share a couple of little thoughts from the Word of God. As you know, I went there on 2 weeks ago, left on the Saturday morning, and had just a wonderful, wonderful time in God. So just share a little bit about it. If I turn this on, it actually works when I turn it on, doesn't it, Jeremy? It's always a good thing to learn. Turn things on to make them work. And you can join us for tea and coffee afterwards as well. That was a very short trip, as you can see. Bless you. Thank you very much. Okay, we'll try that one again. Case for those, this is Australia, just in case you didn't know. This is the Philippines up through here. And these people weren't in the Philippines. They didn't go there. And we're getting our wires a little bit crossed here. Let's see how we go this time. It's not working. I'm not doing this. You mean you're just giving me a feeling of power just to amuse me? Is it working? It's just, okay. All right. When I go like this, you make it go. Yeah. Okay. It was a very entertaining trip, as you can see. All right, I'll try again. No, back again. We missed some animation. There's animation. Animations. Yes, and a bit more. Oh, there you go. So went from Melbourne to Manila. Landed there in Manila, just in there somewhere. So there for just the one night. Next morning I spoke at the church in Pasig, which is a CRC church there right in the heart of Manila. It's led by Pastor Peter Howji. He's a Papua New Guinean missionary, and he's the pastor of the church there in Pasig. It's a great church, and it was a real joy to be there to share with them in the morning. And so we had a great time ministering there at the church there in Pasig. There's another one of that as well. Just want to put the other one up. And didn't get a photo of me preaching. It's a bit hard to do that when you're in the pulpit. Excuse me, everybody. I'm just going to take a photo of myself. Didn't do that. So that was just a wonderful time. We had a great time of ministry with the people there. And just a wonderful heart. You know, just people go a long way to get there. Takes some of them, takes them 2 or 3 hours to get to church. because of the traffic. Some of them not traveling far, maybe 30 kilometres or less, 20 kilometres, taking a couple of hours to get to church. But they get there, they're early after travelling 2 hours to church, and they're just full on for God. So we had a really great time with them. So it's just the one night in Manila. From Manila, we went to Danao, which is in Cebu. So just went down to this other island, excuse me, in Cebu. And that was where I was there for about a week there. Not actually in Cebu City. There's a place there called Mindanao. That's where the CRC church, is with Pastor Allen. Pastor Allen will be speaking here next Sunday. He's from the church there in Madawi. He's the national CRC chairman of the Philippines. And he's based, centered in here. Just near that, there's a little place called Danao, which we'll just bring up the next little one here. And what I went there for was I met with David Wright. He's from Cairns, the church there. So myself, Pastor David Wright, we were speaking at the church planning school for that week. And each of the three members of the National Executive, they each did a session as well on church planning. The next one, but did I do that? No, I felt like I did. It felt good. But it was the very first ever, the inaugural first church planning school ever held in the nation of the Philippines. So it was a real privilege to be a part of that. And they were getting a little bit frustrated because they've only doubled in the last 10 years. They've only gone from a handful of churches to about 60. Thought they needed to do a little bit more to speed up the growth. And just remember, you're a part of that growth, by the way. I'll show you some things later on. But they felt, no, we really want to get things moving and the heart of evangelism just to explode all the more. And so it was a real privilege to be a part of the church planning school. So, yep, so there's the speakers, and that's Pastor Allen. He spoke at the session there. He's the National CRC Chairman in the Philippines. As I said, Pastor Peter Haugi. We've actually had him here before with his wife Nelia, the pastoring the Manila church there. And then Pastor Melvin, he's also a member of the executive. Okay, there's just a picture of us all. That's Pastor David Wright. Don't know who that is. That's Pastor Peter in the middle. It's Pastor Allen. Sorry, that's Pastor Melvin. That's Pastor Peter. And that's Pastor Allen, who you'll see him next week. So just quickly move on. Okay, this is the facility. Where it was actually held is in the training center. As a church, we support the training center. We support the work that happens there. Those coins for missions, I'll say a little more in a moment. But this is the general meeting room, and this is where the sessions were held in there. So the thing about this church planning school is the hunger for the people. There was a lady there. She's a single mother, came with her four-year-old. She's had quite a lot of tragedies happen to her in her life. And she's lost her husband. She had tuberculosis, was knocked out for 4 years because of that, and really badly affected. But God stirred in her heart this young lady, I think she's probably, I don't know, early 30s at best, to plan a church. So she came to the planning school. It took her 3 days to get there with a four-year-old on about three boat rides. Now, this little four-year-old is your typical four-year-old. He's full of beans, this kid. He's into everything. Great little kid. But she traveled with him for 3 days on boats to get there. And that's just the hunger for doing that. A lot of mums will struggle to get a four-year-old anywhere, but I was so impressed that she did that. She had this four-year-old with her, traveled 3 days there, 3 days by boat to get home again. It took as long to travel just as long as she was there. But God really stirred, really spoke into her heart. So this is the area again, just another picture there. We really, that's the certificates that we that they got presented with. The thing about going there is, speaking of the church planning school, I said, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. When I get there, Pastor Barry had given some notes, but for all five of us and who's doing what and whatever, and we just didn't really reference that very much. But I said, Lord, you're just going to have to give me something. I just praise God. He actually just gave me like a picture, physically a picture. I saw like a map, and that was being like a blueprint, like a template to share from, and I praise God. So, and everything just worked in really well. everyone there would have thought we spent hours working out who was doing what, but the Holy Spirit just weaves everything together. So it was very powerful. Next. This is just a bunch of all the people that were there. And you notice that there are a lot of young people. That really excites me is the heart of the young people there, young people that are so on fire for God. A lot of these ones that will go out and plant churches, they're planting churches in their early 20s, some of them 19, 20, 21, 22, and they will plant a church. They will go out there with basically no resources, and they'll get in there and they'll start getting people saved. That's how they do it. Get people saved, start talking to their friends, meeting people, reaching out, get them saved, begin to gather them together, begin to fellowship them together, begin then to train them and get them, and churches will be planted. So it's a real privilege and honor for us as a church, because you sent me there, so we went there. It wasn't just me going. We went there together as Grow Church. And as a result of that, there's seven definite brand new churches are going to start as a result of that. Definite, confirmed from the people that were. So praise God for that. Yeah. So we're a part of that. You're all a part of that. Seven churches. You just imagine how many people in those they're going to get, and they're going to get people saved. The rippling effect. Part of our vision as a church is Grow Church. You know, the O is for outreaching globally. It's outreaching outside our front door and beyond, and the beyond goes right to the ends of the earth. And so it's a wonderful privilege for us as a church to be part of that. It's part of our vision, part of who we are. And there's 11 that have already just started planting churches. But there's six brand new ones. That's 17 churches already as a result from that church planting school. So that's really exciting. There's one more. Or was that there? Oh, no. Yeah, okay. I just want to say something about the coins that you collect. The children run around and some people think, isn't it cute? Well, it's not cute. It's very powerful, actually. It's beyond cute. It's powerful. The coins that you collect, they go there to help support the work of this training center, which is in Danao, which is on the island of Cebu. And so we help maintain the facility, but not only the facility, it's what happens there. We help support the students. These coins are multiplied beyond your imagination. You put a little coin out of your purse, probably something I didn't even really care about. It's just a coin. It's just an annoyance having this heavy weight of a coin in your purse. So I'll just get rid of it. I'll give it. Some people might give however we give, but it doesn't really cost us a lot. That's what I'm really saying when we give these coins. But something that doesn't really cost us a lot, God multiplies it to such a wonderful effectiveness. Just go to the next slide. Now, as part of the church planting school, there's about 40-odd people that were there at the church planting school. This group of them there are students at the Philippine School of Ministry, POSM, Philippine School of Ministry. They're there for 6 months full time, and they're learning how to be pastors, how to be leaders. And our money that goes there, the coins there, is actually making all of this happen. Now, this couple here, this is Pastor Abel. He's Pastor Alan's brother, his wife Mel. And I've known them because I taught them many years ago at a leadership training school, spoke prophetically over their lives and imparted into them. They're now running the school, but they didn't realize there was that connection. It was us who was actually the church that was supporting them. And so when they realized, they only found out, made the connection 3 or 4 weeks before going there, that we were the ones that were connected with them as a church. And they were so excited to hear for Grow Church what we're doing and being a part of. So it's just a wonderful blessing. When you see the coins for missions, think, well, where are these coins going? Well, just these are the people. There's Victor. You know, he's an older guy. He's about 40, which makes him a pretty old man compared to some of these other ones. He's got a real passion in his heart to plant a church. All these ones here, these young women, young girls, they're going to go out and plant churches. They're going to be full on in ministry. They're, you know, 19, 20, 21, 22. They will plant churches and they will pastor. They will become leaders. And so when you give your coins, you know, we're thinking of just the children. I'll look at them as they collect them. I just want you to picture this is what's happening when you give those coins. The multiplication effect is awesome. You give your coin, that coin will help these lives be trained and they're going to touch lives. One other thing was this guy here. Apparently I prophesied over him 7 or 8 years ago when I first went to the Philippines and spoke over his life. And when he came so excited, came running up to me, oh, you spoke over me and gave me this word. And he's sharing all these things in his life. And now he's a part of the team actually overseeing making this whole school run. So the coins for missions are so powerful. Bless you for your faithfulness in giving those coins. Bless you for doing that. Maybe you've got some leftover notes as well. Put them in as well, because it has such an incredible effect. It's just amazing what it does in that nation. And so they were so excited and so blessed. So they did this wonderful thank you card. They did the church logo and stuff, and they sort of presented it to us. And so it says, "Thank you, Grow Church." You can see it up there, from the POSM student, Philippine School of Music and Music Ministry. And you can put on the next slide, because it opens it up for you. And so they did a little thank you thing and be doing one of the sessions there on it. But they've written all of this stuff. It'd be great to read this. These are all personal notes from the students who were so grateful. They were so, so grateful. For us, it's just these coins that go in. For them, it changes their life. But not only changes their life, it changes many, many lives for the gospel. And so bless you for your faithfulness with those coins. Keep doing it. Keep giving it. Put more coins in. Keep doing that. Because they were just so blessed. They were actually overwhelmed. It's quite overwhelming just hearing their gratitude and their love for all of us and their heart for us. So make sure you have a look at that. I'll leave it just down here at the front. Come and read it. There's a thank you note for you, for the coins that you put in. Even the coins you put in today, they are so grateful. So bless you for your faithfulness in doing that. And so that was a real joy to have them a part of that church planning school and to be involved in that. Maybe we'll go to the next one. From there, we had to get back from to now, which was where the training center is, right near on the island of Cebu City, a little bit out up along the coast here. You have Mindawi, where Pastor Allen's church is, the CRC national office is, and then the training center is a little bit further up. As you know, Philippines has had a lot of rain. They had a lot of monsoonal type rains and flooding. Most of it around Manila has sort of cleared up. It was nice, 36 degrees every day. Although Manila got down to a little bit lower. It was only about 32 sometimes. And about 90% humidity, so that's pretty hot. But coming back, it rained. And man, did it rain. This is looks like I'm on a boat. We're in the bus, on the jeepney. It's like an open bus. There's no walls, sort of open, and at the back. And that's just the view, like, literally, as I said, does this thing turn into a boat, like in a Batman movie or something? Because it's going to need to, the way that we're going, the amount of water that was coming down. All right, next one there. So this is Pastor Allen, who, again, you'll see him next week. His wife, Cleofi, and their daughters, Pinky, and just gone blank on her name for the minute. But they oversee the church, and so you'll see Pastor Allen next week. Next one. And got to speak at the youth on that Saturday. So we travelled back on that Saturday. They had a youth night that night. And the youth there, so full on, they all bring their friends along. And so this is Pastor Ian. He's also coming with Pastor Allen, so you'll see him. Just introducing the night, asked me to speak. I spoke a message and gave three calls. I said first-time decisions. Well, four came through. And I thought, praise God, four people giving their life to Christ the first time. Then the next one, I said, those that may be a little bit caught between the two. Well, I think about half of them came. Well, not half, but 80% of them came out. And then Pastor Allen's wife was really excited because I said, oh, four people gave their heart to the Lord. She said, no, it was not more than that. It was more like more than 16 kids gave their heart to the Lord for the first time. So that was just really, really exciting to see. And then the other call was about them going out and preaching to their friends and their relatives, and they all came out for that one. So praise God again. The wonderful privileges for us to be a part of that. These kids, young kids, are now in heaven because of you, because of your faithfulness in sending us their prayers. And so I praise God for that. So that was an awesome night that night. Next one. Okay, then we went from there, yep, down here. So island hopping again. And so we're getting down lower, getting higher. So the temperature was getting 36 higher with high humidity. And so went down into this place called Davao City. And it's quite a large growing area now. They've got about 750,000 people living in that city now. And it's... when I went there, I went to this precious little church. The next one. There's this wonderful little church there. I traveled with Pastor Junjun, and he went with me. He pastors this little church here, and it's a precious little church, wonderful little church. And I think the average age of the church, allowing for a couple of older ones that, you know, maybe in their 50s, even older, it's probably average age is probably still 13 or 14. This is a church, the average age. The church, put up the next one. This guy's 15. He's the meeting leader for the day. It's not a kids' church. This is a church, full-on church. 15-year-old, he was leading the service. And did a fantastic... This kid is just a brilliant kid. Got a fantastic heart. And the way that he goes around the little ones, he's pastoring the little ones, encouraging the little ones. He's up there when there's worship going on. He's worshiping with his whole heart. The other little kids are in there. They're following his lead and worshiping and praising God. And so that's what really touched my heart, that the passion of these youth, the passion of these young kids, did a fantastic job. Next one. There's a whole little bunch of little ones you can't see too well with the sun behind them. But a whole lot of kids came from everywhere and all climbing in the windows, hanging off there, just trying to hear about the Word of God and really hungry. So it's got little cute little kids there. Next one. That's the church. Now this lady here, she actually travelled back. She went to the church planting school. She travelled down. She actually goes to a Baptist church, but she heard what was happening. And to see Pastor Junjun, if I can see him in the photo. Maybe he's taking the photo. I think he might have had the camera. You see how young these people are. And but that's the church, not a kids' church. They don't have Sunday school because they're the church. And this lady goes to a Baptist church, but she's so blessed with the outreach. This is in a slum area, by the way, like a squatter area, And this lady generously has given the use of this house, to these two rooms, to use as a church. And it was just so wonderful to see the hearts of these ones, so hungry for God. We're only supposed to be there, preach and then go. It was such a fantastic time. I think we were there for about 3 or 4 hours praying with them and talking with them. Just a wonderful. So again, bless you for your heart. Next one. Okay, from there, from bus, so just travelling a little bit way up the coast here to Tuggum City. And so just have a look there. This is where the second week was spent at the mission school. And so the very first ever mission school they have there. And so spent a week with them. This was a very challenging situation physically. It was very hot. They were complaining about the heat. So I'm thinking, man, well, that's hot for you, like 36 and 90 degrees humidity, 90% humidity, pretty hot for me. But they're all going around saying, it's so hot, it's so hot. I'm thinking, it must be really hot. If they're complaining, you know that it's hot. This is a house that they rent for the missions, World Missions Faith Training Centre. And it was a privilege just to spend the week there. It was myself and there's 5 students and the girl that coordinates, runs the program that were there. So next one up there. That just gives you across. They're right, one side. This is across the road. So here, this is the beginning of a squatter area all the way through here. Next door is a Muslim temple, next door, right next door. And so, I mean, I was up at 4 o'clock every morning because the call to prayer, coming through the loudspeakers. Well, you're here, loudspeaker there, wake up. You never need an alarm clock there or anything, man, you wake up. Wide and boom, it's there. And then just across there in the middle, this is looking the other side. There's some units here. Here is like a pub, if you like, a bar, karaoke bar. And so you got the Muslims doing their thing on one side. You've got very bad karaoke all day and all night coming out of this place there. And it was a real challenge because on the plane flying down here, that's when I lost my voice. So first couple of days, really, I was pretty okay. Next day, my voice was like this. I could barely talk. But I had to do all the talking. We spoke for 16 hours. I had to do 16 hours of ministry. By the way, I got there, and where are the notes? Because they said, oh, look, we want you to speak on the priesthood of the believer. Okay, that's fine. And there'll be some notes there for you to use because you can draw on these notes. Oh, we don't have any notes. I said, oh, okay. So they checked, oh, no, no, we're supposed to have notes. We don't have any notes for you. So they said, well, is there another topic, something else? No. So I had 16 hours on the priesthood of the believer without any notes. So I was going to bed about 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, preaching all day, then finish, quickly work, get going again for the next lot. And so we go through. But anyway, some good notes now on the priesthood of the believer. But it was a challenge when we didn't have a voice, and you got the Muslims going, drone, putting the thing through. You got the karaoke, because there's no windows. There's no windows. All the doors are open. I might as well have been trying to preach in a karaoke bar. And so that was a real challenge. But God is good. Even when you can't talk, you'll still get the message out. And so God is a faithful God. And the good thing about going to somewhere like this is that everything's stripped away, even your voice. But God still works. So this is the room, which is the room where the lecturing teaching happens in here. It's also the meal room. And this is the last morning. And he's a real character. I'd love to get him to come here for a year and just to learn more about the things of God. He's got a great heart. He's come from a really difficult background, alcoholic father, beaten him and all this sort of stuff. But just to see these kids that are totally transformed around, it really stirs your heart. And talking about transforming lives, one of the things that they do, they do outreaches to different areas. And so one afternoon, Thursday afternoon, we went out into the park, which was basically all concrete, really. Just maybe saw a couple of plants, but it was a concrete park. But anyway, into the park, and it's just reaching out to people, talking to ones. But they brought up to me one of these homeless kids that are there. And this kid's actually gave his heart to the Lord about 3 weeks ago, which is really exciting. But there's a group of about 17 of these kids. They're all homeless, all different situations. A lot of them work, some of them don't. Most of them were working in the mines. Some of them were getting paid 50 pesos a day to work in a mine, 12-hour shift, 50 pesos a day. 50 pesos is about $1.10 for a 12-hour shift in a mine. That gives them enough to eat something, but they've got nowhere to live. And so really tough lives. There's one boy that I met that we were sharing with, ended up praying with and talking to him. His father was looking after the family. Father got really ill, could no longer look after the family. So they were struggling, so the wife left him. And so this boy, he's only 14 at the time, he's 15 now, he became the provider. And so the grandfather, so he works, and he works now. He washes motorbikes 12 hours a day. Washing motorbikes, actually paying better than the mines. They're giving 400 pesos for the day, which is pretty close to $10 for 12 hours every day, washing motorbikes. And every cent that he gets, all the money, he sends it faithfully back to his grandfather, who then looks after his father, who's in a really bad way. And that touches your heart. And talking to this kid, I said, asking, is he eating anything? He hardly ever eats at all. This kid's thin as anything because he sends all his money back. Now, this is not just a story. They know that because they know this kid. They've been working with him. Anyway, so we were able to bless him, give him some money, give him some meal and help look after him. But something stirs in my heart. Wouldn't it be great as a church if we could do something for these kids? You know, what if we could rent a house or something where they could have a safe place where they could go and live? Maybe God will stir something on our hearts to do something. You know, I praise God for the wonderful facility here. God's blessing us and blessed us, faithfulness of your giving, your hearts and the building. But you know, once we've got this place looking right, we're going to have to fill this place, but also let's start doing some more things out there as well. Let's touch, you know, it's great what we do with Coins for Missions, but you know, there's one of the pastors there, I'd love to build him a church. He's got some land that's been given to them. Some of you know him, Raj and Dorini would know him, and others that went on that mission trip where the children's home is, the orphanage there in Bohol. And you've got land given to them, but they can't get enough money to build a church. We could put a church on there for less than $10,000. We could build the whole thing, not a problem. Everything, that's more than enough to build them a church building which will accommodate them. And maybe God will stir something on our hearts to do some of these kind of things a little bit beyond ourselves, a little bit further afield. But these kids, it really touched my heart when you see these kids. What a faithful child, 14-year-old, he's now 15, for 12 months he's been working, doing these motorbikes. He was in the mine before. Mine was killing the poor kid, 50 pesos a day, like a dollar a day for 12-hour shift. And so now he's got a great job. He earns $10 for 12 hours. But is faithfully sending every cent back. Now, some of these other kids don't have jobs. Some of them have jobs. Wouldn't it be great if we could touch the hearts of these kids? Really stirred my heart when I saw them. So this is the students together from the school. And this is Delia. She's sort of like the mum to them. She's pretty young to be a mum to them, but she looks after it, runs everything, makes sure it all happens. They're all faithful, so faithful servants. All of them just work so hard and so well. The day starts at 5 a.m. in the morning. That's when we start. So that's okay. You're up at 4 a.m. anyway, thanks to our Muslim neighbours. And 5 o'clock is when we started the day. You start with prayer, devotions and things, and then go through. And so quite long days that we have. But they're faithful and they're heart for God. And so I praise God again. You know, we're not only going to have been a part as a church, seeing church planted in the Philippines. Well, these guys are missionaries. They're learning to be missionaries. So what other parts of the earth are going to be affected? Because we're going to, as a church, we're able to have an input into this. So I bless you and commend your hearts in that. And as for being able to bless these students over this time. Okay, let's just quickly move on. Again, and that's, yeah, I think that's the end there. So then, obviously, back to where we are. Just want to just do a little, you just got your Bible this morning. I haven't time to put it together up on the screen. If you've got a Bible, turn to Luke chapter 15. Just want to share something. I think one of the things that God has really stirred me about is really, what is our heart for the lost? To really see a step up in that area. You know, it's just a wonderful night last night. We get so many opportunities as this church to be able to bring our friends along. We have Alpha. We have all of these things given to us, opportunities to bring our friends along. We have Book of Life prayer, so we're praying for people who don't know Jesus. And I just know that God really wants us to step up in that whole area of reaching out to people. I think God, you know, if God wanted to blow a trumpet this morning, the trumpet would say to us about, come on, let's get moving about the lost. Let's start living for the lost. Let's start living for them. And, you know, I just, well, let's read this passage in Luke 15. We know this story, but let's read it. Luke 15, chapter 15, verse 1. It says, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. Verse 2 of chapter 15 of Luke. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. You know, how often do we get accused of that? We see you hanging around with unbelievers. You're hanging out with the wrong crowd. Not that you become the crowd, but you're reaching out to people. You're going from a position of strength, knowing who you are in Christ, and reaching out to them. Jesus told him a parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? Excuse me. And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. And I just believe God wants to stir our heart as a church in this area of reaching out. I think sometimes with some of the programs we use, we think that's great, we're doing some outreach programs. It's not the programs, it's us. You're the outreach program. Is the program working? Does the program need some tweaking? Are you working? Are we reaching out to the lost? Does it break our heart when we see people that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are we just oblivious to it? You know, this really stirs my heart. When I went there, it's like, it's good to get out of your environment for a little while. And God really challenged me. And all the wonderful things, we have a great church, a good church. This is a really good church. And I praise God for each and every one of us. Praise God for your faithfulness, for your service. And last night, you know, people worked so hard in doing so many wonderful things. And I praise God for your hearts to serve, your hearts to give. But I think God would just want us to step it up in that reaching out to the lost. What a great opportunity we had last night. Maybe some of you didn't come. Maybe you don't like the music. Too bad. It wasn't about that. It's about the lost. It's got to be about the lost. You know, every opportunity we give as a church, let's take those opportunities. Ask people along. And even if you can't get someone to come, come along that you might speak to someone who doesn't know the Lord. You know, there's heaps of people here last night that didn't know the Lord. And it's great to have believers even who can at least talk to them and share. But I just believe God's stirring our heart in this area about leaving. So there's 100, and it says leaving 99 and going after the one. I just want to ask us, what is our 99 today? What is your 99? Because the 99 sheep that the shepherd left, he left the 99 to go after the one. Now, there's nothing wrong with these 91. These are all good sheep. They're all good, really good, wonderful, fat, beautiful, lovely, fantastic sheep, beautiful sheep. But to leave the 99 and to go away and to go after that lost one. But what is our 99? Sometimes for us, maybe it's just the church. You know, we're all cozy together and we're all a big huddle together, praise God. Bless the Lord, isn't it wonderful? We have a good church. We do have a great church. A sense of family together, a big huddle over here. But then there's a lost one that's out here. And the thing about the lost person is that they don't even know they're lost. Some people don't even know they're lost. Some people do know they're lost. Some people do know that they don't know where they're going, what's going to happen. What happens when I die? The fear of death is always hanging over them in the back of their mind. What happens when I die? What happens when I die? Well, where do I go? Where's my life? And they're lost. You know, if you've ever been lost, you can't find your way. You go walk out in the desert. We'll drop you there by helicopter. We'll just drop you there. And you can be lost. You won't know how to find your way home. They're lost because they're lost. They can't find a home or something. Maybe we need to come out of this and say, Lord, praise God and all the benefits and the joy of this. But Lord, I want to go for the lost one. And I believe God will stir our heart for the lost one. I think it's what God would want to say to us this morning. Where are we? Where are we in this area of reaching out to the lost? You know, I don't know how to get it across to us any more strongly, but I believe God would stir our hearts in that. Maybe the 99 for you are good things. Maybe you've got a good job, it's your job, and maybe out of 99, maybe your job's 45 of 99, maybe it is. Maybe you've got family, good family. Family's good. You've got those things. Maybe there's some hobbies and interests. Yeah, they're all good, they're healthy. Maybe these are all our 99 and all good stuff, not bad stuff. But maybe we just have to leave some of that stuff saying, it's all good stuff. But Lord, I'm just going to go after the lost one. I'm going to go after the lost one. It's all good. It's not bad. I'm not doing anything bad. We're not sinning, not misbehaving. It's just all good. It's all good. But to leave the good and to leave the good and say, God, you're going to look after my family. Lord, you're going to look after my finances. Lord, you're going to look after these things. You know, the shepherd, he left them in open country. Open country is exposed country. Open country where something can come along and, you know, but there's a confidence that God will look after it. Be confident that God will sort it out. You submit it to God, God will sort it out. But for us, sometimes the 99 might not even be a good thing. It'd be problems. You got a problem? Well, I got 99 problems. Got these problems. Got this one. We got our 99 problems. And the 99 problems that take all our attention is this one. There's this problem here. There's a financial problem here. There's a relationship problem here. There's a health problem here. There's this problem over here. And there's this one. And there's that. We've got our problems. And they take all our attention. And there's the poor lost one is still just wandering around. But we're busy, you know. We've got 99 problems. I haven't got time for this person over here. I just haven't got one problem. I've got 99 problems. You're telling me to go after someone? I'm busy, thanks. I've got 99 problems. And they're real problems. And they can take all our attention. But I just believe God to say, look, just leave the problems. I'll take care of the problems. If you turn your heart to this lost one over there. And it says, for the one that goes to the lost one, it says there's this incredible joy comes upon their heart. You lead someone to Christ. You see someone come into the eternal kingdom of the living God. You see someone come out of death into life. You see someone get washed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You see someone come into relationship with their Father as they receive what Jesus did on the cross for them. The joy is insurmountable. There's nothing better, nothing better. Far more joy leading one person to Christ than seeing 99 problems go away. I think if all my problems went away, I'd be happy. Far greater is the joy to see someone come into the kingdom of God. And I know God will stir our heart about those things. So it's about all heaven rejoicing. Let's get heaven a little bit happier, eh? Let's get heaven a little bit happier. God loves our praises. He loves our worship. He loves it when we lift our hands and honor him, and that is good. And that's what he's called us to do, to praise him and worship him. But let's make heaven happy. There's more joy in heaven over the one that comes to the Lord. More joy. I want to make God as happy as I can. I want to make heaven as joyful as I can. And one of the things that really stirred my heart, this is something, guys, we've got to lift the bar as a church. It's not to do with what more programs. More programs will probably work against us. Not about more programs. Not about doing more stuff. It's about us reaching out, us saying, Lord, maybe the 99 good things, like my job and my family and some sport, activity, social, maybe I have to just put some of them and say, God, I'm going to go. Maybe your 99 are all problems. Man, I got problems. Saying, Lord, I'm just going to trust you with that. And I'm going to turn my heart to those that are lost. And I find that when that joy starts to rise in our hearts, I think we find that those problems will start to go away. And even if they're still there, the magnitude of those problems, because some of us get crippled with problems. And that to me is a travesty, that we allow problems to cripple us. We've all got problems. But man, we don't really. Because we're here, really. We're in the kingdom of God, you know, we're together. They've got a problem. You don't know Jesus Christ today. You might not even know you've got a problem. But there's only one way for people that are lost. And they're going to go to the place where no one ever wants to go. And so my prayer today, and this really stirred my heart, God really wants us to step up in this area. Let's make some decisions tonight. Let's make some choices. Say, Lord, look at this good stuff. All good stuff. I'm working hard, you know, doing a lot of work and long hours and whatever else, and I'm saving up for my future and whatever. But maybe we have to do a little bit less of that and maybe give someone a future, an eternal future. Maybe just change some priorities just a bit. But I just believe, God, let's stand to our feet. I believe that's what God wants to steer us. I praise God. I thank you for your faithfulness, the blessing, the prayer, the sending to the Philippines, because we all went to the Philippines. Every victory is our victory. It's under the name of the Lord, and this church is such a blessing. You are a blessing to the nations. But let's stir up our hearts. Let's stir our heart. How are we going? How are we going? Are we going? Maybe we don't want to go. Let's start stepping out. Let's start reaching out to people. You know, opportunities are created. Let's take them. Let's take the opportunities. I mean, somebody did it for you. Let's do it for them. Somebody reached out to you. Praise God for that person, whoever they are, because you wouldn't be here today without them. Praise God for that person. I pray God blesses them. But the people here, you know, are lost. You come and you speak to them. Let's be bold. Something means surround words. Let's just, the love of God, we're talking about radical love. Let's just lovingly tell them about the love of Jesus Christ. Maybe you've come here this morning and you know what it's like to feel lost. I mean, you're not stupid. You're not hopeless. You just don't know what's going to happen to you when you die. You don't know where you're going in life. You don't know what the purpose of life is. Maybe you're feeling a little lost here this morning. Because you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that at the end of this meeting that you'll say, look, I don't want to live my life walking around in circles. I don't want to live my life full of doubts and full of fears and insecurities and wondering about what's it all about. I want to find life. I want to find reality. I want to find Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe that's you this morning. When we invite people for prayer, you come and say, I need Jesus in my life. I need him. I need him. I don't want to be lost. I want to be found. I want to be in relationship with the God who made me. I want to accept Jesus into my life, the one who died, that I don't have to be lost and suffer. I want that for my life. So I'm going to pray for us as a church, and then if anyone needs prayer, we'll pray with you. But Father, we come to you. Father, first of all, I thank you for the faithfulness of your people. Father, for the faithfulness in sending, Lord, but we went together, this church, Father. Thank you for the heart for the nations that we have. Father, I pray, Lord, that you stir our heart in evangelism. Father, that we will bring out the good news, Father. Lord, that we'll leave the 99 good things even, Father. And we'll say, Lord, I'm not going to be so caught up in my own self, whether it's the good stuff or the bad problems, Father. Lord, I'm just going to go. I'm just going to go, Lord. I'm going to go out and I'm going to speak your word to people, Father. I pray, Lord, that we'll grab a heart of something in the spirit. Lord, I just believe God wants to do something in our hearts today. Said, I believe if there was a trumpet that could blow, the Lord would just say that about reaching out to the lost. Don't let this fall on deaf ears today. Don't be deaf ears. But isn't the Lord said, he that has ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Father, let us hear your word, Father. Lord, let us do something about it. Father, let us not go back to the 99, to the 99 comforts or the 99 problems. But Father, let us be so determined, Lord, we're going to see people come to know Jesus Christ because they're lost, they need you. Father, stir that spirit in our hearts. Stir that passion in our hearts, Father. Lord, let us not miss the whole point. Let us not miss it, Father. Lord, you've given us so much. You've blessed us with so many things. But Father, I pray, Lord, let us have that heart for the lost. Lord, we even sing, Lord, let my heart beat with what beat is yours, or let my heart break with what breaks yours. Father, how I pray that would be true. How I pray that that would be true. Lord, that you would break our heart for what breaks yours, Lord. Let that be true, Lord. Let us not sing empty words. Father, let that be a declaration of our life, a declaration of our purpose, Father, of who we are. Lord, that we want to grow, Lord. We grow, Lord, in our own faith. But, Lord, we grow as people come to know you, Father. So, Lord, I pray that you stir that in our heart, Lord. You don't condemn us, Father. But, Lord, you say, come on out of the huddle. Come out of the 99. And then go out into the lost. Seek them out. Find them. They're lost. They can't find. You need to seek them and touch them and bring them. And, Father, I pray, Lord, help us to stop praying for people to come in the doors. Father, help us to start praying. Lord, we're going to go through this door and we're going to bring them in, Father. We're going to invite them, Father. We're going to ask them, Father. We're going to speak the word of God to them, Father, that we might see them come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray you seal that in our spirits. Father, we just love you. We are so privileged to be loved of you. And Father, I pray that you stir our hearts, Lord, that so many will come to know you, Father. Lord, stir that, I pray, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And just not a amen because I said to say, can you say amen in your spirit? Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Lord, I will go, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's just worship the Lord. Praise God.